The Martin Mars flying boat is making its first appearance at AirVenture. It's the world's largest operating flying boat, 160,000 pounds, and with a wingspan near that of a 747. It arrived at the seaplane base before the start of AirVenture Oshkosh 2016. Paul Seehaver is the chairman of the seaplane base. He watched the Mars land on Lake Winnebago.
You know, I gotta tell you, I've been running the seaplane base for 14 years, and I've been coming here since 1978. And I'm a seaplane guy. I'm an EA guy, and I love seeing cool airplanes. This is like the grand finale. And to see that airplane come, I watched people on shore, they were speechless to see the airplane. And even though we saw it fly overhead, when it came down and landed on the water, to see it skimming across the water and coming into the bay, like it's been here before, it's just a beautiful sight. It's a very, very graceful looking airplane when it flies. As the crowd's going to see that.
While the Martin Mars is in Oshkosh, you can buy a ticket and visit this massive air tanker. Only 6 were ever made. 2 are airworthy, and 1 of them is at the seaplane base.
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
Just getting the show started, huh?
To get a peek inside the Martin Mars, first you take a 3-minute boat ride in a skiff that travels as part of the support entourage. Wayne Colson heads the Canadian company that owns the Hawaii Mars.
Okay, so welcome folks to the 71-year-old Hawaii Mars that was originally built by Glenn L. Martin out of Baltimore and delivered to the U.S. Navy in 1945. And its primary mission was working for the U.S. Navy running between Alameda, California and the Hawaiian Islands. So it was a big effort. After the bombing of World War II, this aircraft was reclassified from a bomber into an air freighter. And this was the lift, the airlift, out to the Hawaiian Islands. There were 5 of these aircraft built. There's only 2 of these aircraft remaining in the world that we own both of. This was called the Hawaii Mars, and the other one was called the Philippine Mars. This is our first time in 57 years we haven't been fighting fires at this time of year. So traditionally we're out bombing fires in British Columbia or in the Pacific Northwest. This year it was retired, so what we decided to do is bring it to Oshkosh, as we've been invited before, and this was the opportune time to bring it, and we're looking at 2 things we're looking to accomplish. One is for all our aviation fans worldwide is to offer a flying experience, and then we're looking to put them for sale. And while they have lots of life left in them, it's time for someone else to look to see if they can see a different view the landscape for the airplane than we've had in the world of firefighting, because they are in pristine condition.
The tour begins on the flight deck. It's roomy. Nothing is cramped. Behind the right seat, where there's often an engineer's console in a Warbird, there's a hardwood desk clad with metal painted deep maroon, which coordinates smartly with the flight deck's wall-to-wall carpet. It really does seem like a front office.
What we did on this airplane, when we bought them in 2007, they had the traditional cockpit in it, you know, back in the day of 71-year-old cockpit. So what we did is we put a 600 Garmin EFIS cockpit in it. And that's because we wanted to take it into Southern California. We wanted to work in that high intensity air traffic. So we really needed to upgrade the avionics in it. We also put synthetic vision in the aircraft, so we train with the pilots, so if they lose their lead aircraft, they can see the synthetic vision and work around and get themselves out of a tight spot. So it's very much high-tech. We pulled about 8 miles of wire in it to upgrade the aircraft from its original configuration.
We walk about 15 feet back, still on the flight deck. And on the port side, there's the engineer's console. There's 4 of everything. 1 set of controls and indicators for each of its massive right radial engines. And there are 2 seats.
Now, so they call it Star Wars in the front and Raiders of the Lost Ark in the back. Watch your step, please.
Glenn Pyle is an aircraft maintenance engineer on the Martin Mars.
So they're a 2,500 horsepower radial engine, 18-cylinder. It's a Wright Cyclone 3350.
And you know, compared to its counterparts, the Pratt & Whitney's, it's probably, you know, up to 1,000 horsepower more powerful, right? So you know, for a radial engine plane, it gets up and goes for sure. The engines are on a 25-hour inspection program, so, you know, we don't have to do much flying before it's time to have a look.
And to have a look at those engines, Coulson's company rents a floating work platform positioned in sequence under each engine, but they're still out of reach.
So the raft, it's about a 20 by 30 floating raft that we use to, we float out, tie it to the side of the aircraft, and then in this particular instance, we'll set up a couple levels of scaffolding to access and drop the cowlings on the motors.
All right, we'll make our way downstairs. Watch your step, please. If you like to just jump up there, it's kind
sure.
of fun to look up through the nose.
That would be awesome, thank you.
So of course, it has no landing gear, so we're 100% boat. So we have the spot here where we tie up to the buoy, that person will hook up and will hook us onto a buoy, and we basically go 360 degrees, it kind of floats.
And it's a big anchor, too big to carry in the airplane, so it's a part of the support equipment. In the anchor alone,
We carry about 15,000 pounds to hold the airplane. So remote base, something like that. So that's what, right now sitting on the water, we weigh about 95,000 pounds. So this is our tanking system. So please watch your head going over the top here.
While the Mars was built to transport troops and equipment to Hawaii after the war, now it's a firefighting water bomber. 2 8-inch probes extend down from the hull to fill the ship's tanks, drawing in about a ton of water every second.
When we're scooping, we go from 95,000 to 120 with fuel. When we scoop 7,200 gallons in 32 seconds. And we land at 120, we lift off at 155,000 30 seconds later. So we're about 60 knots. So we land at about 90, we slow it to 60, probes down, we ingest water at 200 gallons a second on full power, and probes up at 32 seconds, and then off we go, and we just kind of wait to get enough momentum to lift off again. So it's about a 3-mile, scooping lane. Touch and go, yes.
The water tanking system is where fuel tanks for the long trans-Pacific cargo runs used to be.
What they did is they took out all the fuel tanks between here and the back of the tank because it was right over the CG of the aircraft, and then they built this tank on top. And then you can see the overflow. So once it fills up to the 7,200 gallons, it flows out those two chutes out the side so we don't overgross the aircraft, because they can't really, tell other than probes up, and then it'll just kind of blow out the excess of water. The bulk of its life, about 80% of our drops have been freshwater. But when we're in Southern California, we used to scoop off Long Beach. So they would give us scooping lanes in Southern California that we would go in, and we would inject the foam or gel into the load, and off we go to the fire.
That gel is held in two tanks. It's mixed with the scooped up water to make a fire retardant that's more effective than plain water. The tour moves back to the nose, now underneath the cockpit. And as we stand between two auxiliary power units with inspection doors to the left and right, you see that they open to the interior of each wing.
And we're right in the wing. And that's where you could you can actually walk out to the outboard engine. And what they used to do going out to the Hawaiian Islands is they would shut a motor off and they would go out and oil it, because we burn 7 gallons of oil per hour per engine. So they would shut one off, oil it up, then he would go to the next one and kind of work his way across and touch the engines up on the way out. So it's pretty amazing. The only airplane in the world that you can walk inside the wing.
As amazing as the Martin Mars is, it is a World War II era warbird, and it is now retired. Coulson's company owns several vintage airplanes, but there is a special passion behind the ownership and their custody of the two Mars flying boats.
You know, this airplane, since 1945, although it served in World War II, it always did the right thing. It was there to support the people of the war and ensure that people got home safe. And then it went into firefighting, which was in a lot of ways the same mission. You know, we were out fighting fires with it, and it protected people's homes and livelihoods. And that's what it's known for most, and that just drives us. And that's why it's very, very important that we find the right home for this aircraft, because of the total love that it has and the contribution it's had, you know, in the world of aviation. And there will never be an airplane. Of course, it was the biggest built during the World War II era. And, you know, it is now a piece of aviation history. And it is an icon to the American, U.S. government, to the U.S. people, right? It's been the people's airplane. In B.C., people know it throughout the province because everybody's seen it. Everybody remembers a fire. Everybody remembers seeing it overhead. So the fact that our provincial government wanted to retire it has been a tough road for the government, because you know, everybody considers it the people's airplane. I had one call from one of the mayors in the community. Said it's like the Duke coming over the hill, you know, when all hell's broken loose. You've got this massive wildfire coming towards your home. Let's just get to Mars, because everybody's seen it, you know, go toe-to-toe with the largest fires in our province of British Columbia. So that's just part of the fun, and owning this airplane has just been such an honor to be part of that history. It's been wonderful.
So the Hawaii Mars is for sale to the right buyer. If owning it is not within your budget, maybe taking a tour is. The Support Entourage is exhibiting on the east end of Boeing Centennial Plaza all week at AirVenture Oshkosh 2016. For EAA Radio, I'm Stuck Mike.